The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that. We all know that the afternoon show is not afraid of anything, really. Yeah. But
Afternoons on the Score.
As we take a look at the Packers offense.
Aaron Rodgers, Cal.
Jamal Williams, BYU. Devontae Adams, Fresno State.
David Bakhtiari, University of Colorado.
Brian Bulaga, Iowa.
Green Bay on the offensive line. They're lucky they got Bulaga back. Rodgers first and 10. Bakhtiari with a block on Quinn. Aaron Jones throws a great block inside. Bulaga and Bell laying the wood. He's down to about the 10. Howard on his back with the tackle. Gain of 11. Boy, the block, the ceiling block by right tackle Brian Bulaga. Huge on that 11-yard first down run.
We will talk to Boog Shambi coming up in about 25 minutes about this recent stretch of good play for the Cubs. But when I was gone, this kind of crossed. It's like a weird thing. Like a gambling site said that David Bakhtiari, the odds-on favorite, was the Bears. And then it picked up a little traction. And we're like, well, that's interesting. Let's talk to our old buddy Brian Bulaga from Barrington. But he hosts at ESPN Milwaukee. And he's kind enough to join us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Brian, how's your summer going, man?
I'm good. Appreciate you having me on. How you been?
Doing well, doing well. We'll talk a lot of different things here, but on this story, you obviously know Bakhtiari very well. He still wants to play?
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, he does want to play. He obviously is rehabbing from an injury that has, you know, kind of set him back a few years, and he's been dealing with it, and he had a surgery done, and he's rehabbing, and to my knowledge, when he feels like he's ready to go, he wants to play.
So, Bears fans should know about him, right? But you know him really well. You watched him closer than we all did. When he's healthy, how good is he?
Yeah, I mean, when Dave's healthy, I think he is easily a top five left tackle in the NFL. I mean, I think we've seen his body of work over the years when I was there, even when I wasn't there, and kind of the player he had become, and what you're used to seeing from him week in and week out was some of the highest level of left tackle play in the league. I mean, I'm talking up there with Trent, and Trent would be one, and the left tackle from the Texans.
Tunsil.
I think he is up there with those guys all day when he's healthy and humming.
You know, and he's had these injuries, but like he's 32 years old. Trent Williams, who you just mentioned, who people still think is the best left tackle in football, he's 35. So if Bakhtiari gets healthy, there are still a few years of useful football left in him in theory.
Absolutely. If you get Dave healthy, you got a lot of good ball left for him to play. And, you know, I understand that he's been going through things the last few years, and he's obviously had a couple surgeries to try to correct some things. Then, dude, he finally had this last one done, and he's very optimistic about it. But I think that's less miles on the tires, theoretically, if you look at it, at least the way I look at it. I get he had a major knee surgery to clean up an issue, but the rest of his body hasn't been beat down. So if that knee turns around and comes back from this latest surgery that he's rehabbing, man, you may get an all-pro guy for, you know, a few really good years, and that's hard to beat.
Yeah, and it's obviously, again, there's a huge variable here with the injury, so no one's projecting that necessarily, but the age, if he is recovered, does allow for some good football to still be left. This is maybe a weird meatball question, but you'll get it. Would he play for the Bears?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's any teams that would, or any teams in his mind that he is a definite no-go. Again, I haven't talked to him about potential landing spots and where he wants to go. And I mean, to my knowledge, and just speaking with him, I haven't spoke to him in a little bit here, but his number one priority was getting healthy.
Yeah,
and after that, I think it's going to come down to the best situation and fit. And if that's Chicago and that's best for he and his young family, then I don't think he would mind it. I think Dave wants to go somewhere that will obviously appreciate him, and especially if he's healthy and he's playing at a really high level. And if he goes there and he's comfortable with the city, his wife Frankie, and their newborn, if everyone's comfortable in that city, he'll go there. And I think he's open, would be my guess. Now, I don't know. I haven't asked him what exact team you want to go to, but I think at this point, I mean, I don't want to say that he can't be, you know, too choosy with it, but he can be, right? I mean, he can go to a situation that's right for him and that feels good to him. So I don't know why Chicago wouldn't be on that list.
We're talking to Brian Bulaga, ESPN Radio up in Milwaukee, former Green Bay Packer teammate with David Bakhtiari. So I feel like it's been a little bit of a weird offseason for the Packers, because everyone thinks that, you know, Jordan Love can win the MVP, dark horse Super Bowl contender, but not a ton of change. Obviously, Aaron Jones to Jacobs is a significant change at running back, but it seems from afar like the plan is on offense just everybody get a year older, have continuity, and therefore you'll be better. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very, if you look at them, and at least, you know, the way I look at them, they feel really good about their skill positions, from the tight ends to the wide receivers, and obviously adding Jacobs and letting Aaron Jones go. They feel really good about what they got offensively. Offensive line, they drafted first-round tackle. Not sure if he'll even see the field or not this year. You never know what training camp brings, but offensive line, I mean, they're returning pretty much everyone besides the right guard, and the right guard was getting – Sean Ryan was subbing in and out throughout games and kind of taking reps off of Runyon throughout the season. So they feel really good about the continuity they got up front. I think the big question is, which I'm sure a lot of people looking from the outside in the team, is the defense, right? It's a new scheme, new D coordinator. We haven't run a scheme like this since I was there. I mean, we've been a read and react three down type defense, and now they bring in Jeff Hafley, and he's going to run more of a four down attacking Scott style defense of the likes of Seattle, San Francisco, the Jets, and kind of in that mold. And who knows how it's going to go. We got to see, do we have the personnel for it? I think we do, but the guy's got to go out there and show it. We added Xavier McKinney from the Giants in the back end. That was the marquee signing.
But that's the key, right? As I understand it, Hafley wants to do a lot of single high, or more single high than we normally see in the NFL. And so you paid money for McKinney, who's one of the best roaming safeties in the league. Like, it seemed like a pretty targeted signing in terms of, we need this player to execute this scheme.
100%. I mean, they are, that's the mold that they're going for, is what we used to see from at least the teams that I played. It'd be like the Seattle, where Earl Thomas would just roam the middle of the field. Cam Chancellor would act as a third linebacker in the box and buzz out if it's a pass, and the D linemen would pin their ears back and go, and the corners were really aggressive. Sherm and those guys would have their, you know, butts to the sideline, eyes on the quarterback, jumping routes. And I think that's kind of what we're getting geared up for here with this new defense in Green Bay. And you know, they got the centerpiece safety to do it. I think defensive line wise, they got a good stable of pass rushers that can get it done. I think the only thing that I would question is, do they have the corners that do it? We know they got Jaire Alexander. He's a stud. He's very good. But Stokes, our first-round rookie from a while ago, he's been injured, hasn't really played much. This is his fourth year. This is the money year for him. How does he perform? Does he hold up? That's the big question. So a lot of questions on defense. I mean, it's just going to be one of those things. How does this unfold as training camp develops and as we get into the early part of the season?
So I obviously never played football at any level, period, but it feels like you couldn't really do worse than Joe Barry. And this Hafley guy, from all the things that I've read about him and talked to a couple of people, that he's like a real football-y football guy. Like, he's a hard ass. He's a run, effort, tackle, hit, intensity, like, that in basketball, you know, rebounding is effort. In football, there is some level of just be a nasty badass and run and hit people. Like, I feel like the Packers defense just having the identity of aggression would be a step up from Joe Barry, even if this system is maybe a little difficult to run in the NFL, given how spread out the offenses are and how good wide receivers are.
Yeah, like, I think the biggest thing that, to me, that needed to happen in Green Bay, and it's obviously why the move was done, there needed to be a culture change on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
It's been very similar for the last 3-4 years, and it's getting stale and it's getting old, and the guys needed something different. And this is definitely different. It's a complete scheme change. Like I said, obviously, it is a difficult defense, but if you have the right pieces, it looks really good. Like, we're watching it with San Francisco does it. The Jets do it. Seattle did it for a long time. Houston's starting to do it with DeMeco Ryans down there. So, like, when you have the pieces to do it, it comes off really well, and guys are very confident in it. They feel freed up from it, and they play good ball. But that's all part of installing a brand-new scheme for guys that have never seen something like this, is they have to get comfortable in it, and they have to be confident in it. And we will see how long that takes them in training camp, and hopefully not too long into the regular season.
Former Packer, the pride of Barrington, Brian Bulaga with us for a few more minutes on the Score. One more Packers thing, then I want to ask you about something with the Bears. Who is going to be the guy that has the most production in the passing game when the season is over?
Oof. That's a good question.
Thank you.
To me, it's either Wicks or Reed. Those are the two guys that I see being the most productive, or maybe putting up the most numbers. I think Watson right now, he's our deep threat. He's the home run ball type of guy. And it just depends on, you know, his health as well. He hasn't played a full season since he's got into the league, and a lot of hamstring injuries. So it's all about his health as well. But I would say Reed will probably be the guy, to me, if I'm looking at it from the outside, may have the most production.
That's fascinating, because I maybe I'm wrong, but I bet if I polled Bears fans, they would say Christian Watson and maybe Romeo Doubs. I feel like those are the two names that are the most known outside of Green Bay, but the two names that you gave me were Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks. That's interesting local knowledge there. I don't think the casual or outside observer of the Packers would say that.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing that I really like about this wide receiver group, is they do legit have four guys, right? Like, there's four guys that can hurt you. I just look at Reed as a guy that LaFleur likes to use also in the reverse and run game a little bit. He touches the ball a lot. He's an explosive guy. He has deep threat potential, but he's really good intermediate route runner. And Jordan Love has shown that he throws a decent deep ball. At least he's shown us that, but he's really good between like 25 and in. He can dot it from 25 in, and those guys that run the intermediate routes, they get a lot of targets. And I'm hoping, obviously, we see a little more progression from what we saw early last year in Green Bay. It was a little bit of a stale offense, protecting them a little bit. Obviously, the O-line wasn't playing good. And then it got opened up a little bit more as the season went on, and we saw more production from all these guys. But I think, I'm not saying either of those guys can't have a big year, Doubs or Watson. Sure. I just look at it from me and kind of how they use Reed, that he may have a blow-up year here.
So the Bears are getting a lot of hype, and they're about to get a lot more in the lead-up to this year with Caleb Williams and Hard Knocks. Do you think Packers fans are at all afraid of the Bears?
You know, I don't know if they're afraid. And obviously, I think people are intrigued. I think they're very interested in it. I'm very interested in it. But when you add that much talent to an offense, right, the guys that are on that offense, I mean, those are a lot of studs, a lot of studs. So in the back of your mind, as a Packers fan, you'd have to imagine that if Caleb Williams ends up being whoever everyone thinks Caleb Williams will be, that could be a very dangerous offense and very good and very productive, something that we haven't seen in Chicago in a long time. So I think Packers fans right now are more intrigued by it. And then once the results start happening on the field for the Bears, I think that's when you're going to get a little more nervous Nellies in Green Bay, because right now it's so hard to tell. The kid hasn't even taken a snap of real football yet. We'll see. But if it goes according to the way the Bears have kind of set this team and offense up, and it does go that way, the Chicago Bears are going to be real contenders. But again, that all has to go to plan.
All right, last one. Is there any chance what we saw from Jordan Love last year is a fluke? Any chance?
I don't think so.
Damn it.
I don't. I mean, listen, there's always a chance that there could be a rough patch throughout a season. And there were, like I said earlier, there were a lot of factors that went into the early production lack of production that happened from Jordan Love in those first eight games. I mean, you watch the tape, the offensive line couldn't pass protect, they couldn't run block. So then you don't have a run game. And I think Matt LaFleur was a little tentative calling plays. He was protecting him a little bit. And I think the wideouts weren't in sync with them. And I think as the season went on and Matt LaFleur kind of opened the offense up, the offensive line started to play like they should be playing. Things just turned around and got a lot better. And I think we saw the real version of Jordan Love in the second half of the season. And listen, the NFL's a crazy game. Anything can happen. I'm more than aware of that. Like that is something that, I mean, he could regress, but I don't see it happening. I think what we saw at the end of the year is Jordan Love, and I think he's probably only going to get better.
Well, that is infuriating and terrifying and all of the things, because he was the best statistical quarterback in football the last 10 games of the year, and then he hung 48 in a playoff game. So that presents a lot of problems for the Bears. All right, Brian, thank you as always for answering our calls. We enjoyed it, and we'll do it again as the season gets closer. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Have a good rest of the day.
Absolutely. You too. It's Brian Bulaga, ESPN Radio in Milwaukee, the University of Iowa, Marion Central out there in Woodstock. We appreciate him coming on the show. Yeah, the Packers it's an interesting offense. Like, that's a lot of depth at receiver with no true number one. But like, I think Dobbs looks really, really good. Watson's a deep threat. Jaden Reed had 8 touchdowns last year and nearly 800 yards. And I know that they do love Wicks up there. So like, that's a lot of depth. They were the youngest offense in football last year. Used a first-round pick, like you said, on Jordan Morgan on the offensive line, so injecting even more youth. Josh Jacobs, they got younger at running back, even though he's a veteran, from A.J. Dillon. So very interesting situation for Green Bay on both sides of the ball with huge expectations. Boog Shambi, it's been a long time. So we'll see if him and I can still recreate the awkward tension when Spiegel is in without him. It's next on The Score.